message for this evening is spiritual preparation for hard times, part one. Psalm 119 describes the key to victorious life in the midst of trials and afflictions. God's word is the secret, is the key to our survival in the challenges of life. When our Lord Jesus Christ would prepare to begin ministry, he was tested. And the devil came, and the devil tested him for 40 days and 40 nights. And during that time, when the testings came, the word of God was the mainstay in that battle to keep and ward off the attacks of the evil one. And so we see how the word of God plays such an important part in the life of thy people, like physical food. God's word is spiritual food, spiritual nourishment to keep our spiritual body healthy and strong. And so as you read through all the 176 verses, you will notice how the psalmist is crying almost throughout the psalm. This is the longest psalm in the Psalter, Psalm 119. And it's interesting that the psalmist, as he reflects upon life, he saw, you know, the troublous times that came. And it seemed, as you look at life, it seemed so full of trouble, tears, and sorrow. Indeed, this is a fallen world that we live in. And yet, as you consider amidst the tears, amidst the grief, you see that there is a peace, there is a hope, there is a joy that is in his heart. What was the secret that kept the psalmist strong through the challenges of life? It is the word of God that kept and sustained him through his afflictions and trials. And therefore, before an affliction would come, it behooves us to take time to be equipped with the wherewithal of God's word, so that when trials and temptations do come upon us, we have the spiritual means to counter. I have divided this book, Psalm 119, into four sections in this study for your encouragement in times of trials and afflictions in this series, in our series of messages, Balm for the Weary. So the first thought that we want to bring before you, four thoughts, the blessedness of embracing God's word, the cleansing power of God's word, the counseling power of God's word, the strengthening power of God's word, the establishing power of God's word. 1 to 40. Right? You realize that the word of God has the kind of power to help us through life's pathways, and God wants us to be equipped so that, you know, the person that is inside us would be strong. And then you see the second section, which we shall cover in the weeks to come. Blessedness of walking with God, verse 41 to 96. The Lord delivers, the Lord comforts, the Lord loves, the Lord chastens, the Lord molds, the Lord helps, the Lord upholds. Right? God does all these things as we walk with him. And then the third section, the blessedness of growing in the Lord, growing to love his word, growing to rejoice in his word, growing to hope in his word, growing to highly esteem his word, growing to order my steps in His Word, growing to delight in His Word. This is the third section. And finally, blessedness of trusting in the Lord. We all need to trust God. Certain times when challenges come, it is only our faith in God that would steel our hearts, to give us strength, to not crumble, to not falter, but continue to trust the Lord, to keep faith, to do His will, to do our duty. And so this last section, with unfeigned hope, renewed love, abiding peace, with unceasing praise. What a wonderful psalm. And, you know, this psalm is written in an, it's called an acrostic psalm. It's written with 22 sections of 8 verses each. And you find that it begins, with each section begins with the a particular Hebrew alphabet in its order, from the first letter to the last letter. So you see how amazing the psalm was written, and how, you know, it is written in what we call Hebrew poetry, acrostic Hebrew poetry, to help us to see and, you know, learn well how, you know, to handle life. And so you see here how this psalm was written as a thanksgiving to God for the blessings of embracing God's word in a believer's life. You know, if you take time to make the meditation, the study, the imbibing, the application of God's word in your life, right, you'll find that there is a lot of benefit that would come. Right? For one thing, the Lord rejoices the heart of His servants. So the psalmist praises God for giving to him His word and is resolved to allow the word of God to guide his life. How about you? How much is God's word an integral part of your life? So the psalmist tells us here of the blessedness of embracing God's word, because God's word cleanses, counsels, strengthens, and establishes God's people. All right, so the first section, from verses 1 to 8, is the preface for the psalm. It introduces the theme, okay? The theme, and what is the theme? The blessings of embracing God's word in the believer's life. The way to blessing is in obedience to God's word, verse 1 to 4. He understood the blessings of walking with God and is resolved to walk in holiness, knowing that it is best for him, as he acknowledges his weaknesses and he seeks to mortify them. Verses 5 to 8. The Lord wants us to see and understand, how the Word of God gives to His people a sense of great strength, because of the life that God gives to us, as we seek to lead a life that is pure before God. Do you have that kind of a holy ambition? Not sinless perfection. The Lord doesn't expect us to be living a sinless life. We all make mistakes and we realize that we are weak. But a life that you know, seeks to be as close to God as possible, so that whenever you know we have there are thoughts, there are actions that you know you see is not right, straight away you know the Spirit prompts us, and we realize straight away we are able to, you know, come out of our waywardness, you know, repent and mourn before God and find restoration as we make right with God in our life. And so you see that the psalmist has that kind of a blessed disposition, okay? And he begins by telling us the blessedness of the undefiled. Who is the undefiled? It is the one that is washed by the blood of the Lamb. You realize that there is cleansing when we come to the fountain of Calvary, when we come and we receive the cleansing blood, right, that flows when our Lord was crucified, when his body was broken to wash away our sins. So every time we are brought near to the cross, we are brought there, right, we receive cleansing. And so the psalmist speaks of that cleansing, right? Cleansing, the blessedness of such a one, okay? And who seeks, right, to walk in the law of God, right? And you see here that there are many verbs that the psalmist use to tell us of his spiritual life. Right? He uses the word keep. He uses the word seek. He uses the word do not. He uses the word walk. Okay? There is a purposeful resolve, right, in the heart of the psalmist to walk with God. Okay? And the blessings of embracing God's words are this. Right? He tells us in verse 6, honor from God, I shall not be ashamed. Rejoicing, I will praise. And verse 8, God's presence. Right? Verse 6 tells us, then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I have learned thy righteous judgments. I will keep thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly. So you see, the psalmist, as he embraces God in his life, he tells us that, you know, God's word is indeed very effectual, right, to help him in his life. And in what way is God's word effectual? He tells us of its cleansing power. Right? Verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. The word of God cleanses the soul. Right? Defilement of sin in the believer's life can be cleansed. The Bible says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And how do we come to that heightened understanding, right, that, you know, in certain areas of your life, in our lives, we need some straightening? Well, the secret is in the believer's quiet time. He said, with my whole heart have I sought thee. And he tells us that not only is God's word a cleansing power for the young man, it does the same for the old. God's word, so powerful. And as he seek wholeheartedly to seek God in his life, right? The believer's quiet time is private devotion time set aside for the purpose of cultivating a rich spiritual life. It is an appointment with God. Do you cherish, do you relish this time you have with God? Sometimes, you know, in the busyness of our life, we may neglect our time with God. And then we realize that, hey, no good. So we try to come back to the Lord. We try to set time again to stay with the Lord. And you find that, you know, this process goes on. And it is important that the people of God, and you can see in the life of the psalmist, that he built up a habitual consistency with God in his life. Right? And he has that quiet time that he would not miss. And, you know, you find that that is, the, in fact, the best time of the day where God would speak to you, right? And you find that the believer's quiet time seeks to move him from a state of stress to a state of rest. And, you know, we were reading through the Read the Bible in 1 year, right? And there are some of our brethren who have come to say they have completed reading, right? And what is the testimony? Blessings from the Lord for completing, for going through the Word of God. Surely it must be, right? When we take time to indulge ourselves in the Word of God, God speaks to us. And there is that cultivation of a calm spirit in the peace and joy of God. And that's the frame of a man that is in touch with God, right? The believer's quiet time. The believer's quiet time is the high point of private worship. And the elements of private devotion are prayer, the reading and meditation of God's word. And at times, you know, we'll sing a song of praise to God. And verse 14 tells us that he considers, right, God's word as true riches. And oftentimes, you know, we do not fall publicly before we fall privately. Right? We fall when we have neglected our private life. And then you see that in our public life is manifested those deficiencies. And so God's word is so important, right? That for God's people to be able to have that kind of a sanctifying influence, even reading a chapter, right? As you read through, you find that, you know, God's word has that power, the Spirit of God has that power to use the word of God to speak to us, right? To highlight certain things in our lives. You know, you may be troubled and you are asking yourself, what do I do? How do I solve this problem? Right? Today is a long day. What do I do? How can I face the temptation, the trial of the day? Is it your experience that, you know, when you take time to be with the Lord gives you the strength? It must be. This is the recipe for spiritual strength throughout the ages. And, you know, God's help never fails. So what is God's message for you today? Right? As you meditate upon the Word of God, right, the Lord speak to you certain things. So we realize that our quiet time must not deteriorate into a routine. It must not take away the excitement and the delight from your soul in the pursuit of God. And we need to keep that self-discipline, that life, cultivate that lifelong habit, that lifelong devotion to God alive. If you want to be effective for the Lord, you realize that this is so important. But oftentimes you see that, you know, we can be hot for a season, then we become cold for a season. And if you read the book of Judges, you'll find that every time the people of God are not fervent towards God, then the enemies come, the enemies will attack them, and then they would be in shambles, you know, and then they would cry out to God, and then God would send deliverance to them. Okay? But we don't want to live that kind of a life. God doesn't want us to live that kind of a life. Okay? And, you know, if you are a head of a family, you're a parent, you realize that your family members depend on you to be consistent, depend on you, you know, to have, to show the direction, to show guidance. And it's so important that unless we keep ourselves strong, then you'll find that, you know, we are unable to be of help to them. So the thought here is that we are to hide God's word in our heart. It has a sanctifying effect, right? And he encourages us. Okay, the psalmist tells us to rejoice, to meditate, and to delight in God's word. Right? Paul says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly or thoroughly furnished unto all good works. This is a paraphrase, right, of this 8 verses, from verses 9 to 16. How the word of God, the knowledge of God's word, is not just a knowledge, but, you know, it is profitable to teach us the principles of life. And it's profitable, you know, to show us what is wrong with our life, for reproof. And it is profitable to show us how we can correct where we have gone wrong. Okay, that's correction. And for instruction in righteousness, and it is profitable to help us to do the right thing. And so the Word of God has that kind, is able to go through, you know, the thorough process for us. That's why when Moses, before his passing on, he told the children of Israel in the book of Deuteronomy, how they must keep the word in their heart. He says, I command thee this day. And these words, he says, which I command thee this day, shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest in the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thy eyes, and thou shalt write upon them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. This series of messages on the Psalm 119 was actually written as part of a larger program, right, to encourage believers to prepare for hard times. Hard times can come, and you don't know what hit you. And, you know, you either swim or sink. And how do you swim in those hard times? Well, you have to practice those strokes before, so that when the storm comes, right, you are ready. You are prepared. Okay? And so, while we have time, while God give us peace, the Lord wants us to take time to equip ourselves. So Moses gave the same instruction for the leaders of Israel. Right? The kings are commanded by God to write a copy of scriptures for themselves and to study and to live by it all their lives. Deuteronomy 17, 18 to 20. And it shall be, when he sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom, that he shall write a copy of this law in a book out of that which is before the priests, the Levites, and it shall be with him. And he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn what? To fear the Lord his God. You know, without the fear of God, we are useless for the Lord. Okay? And as we read the Word of God, he gives us a special disposition, a good respect, you know, for the things of life, for who God is, right? The fear of God, to keep all the words of this law and these statutes, to do them, that his heart be not lifted up above his brethren, but it keeps us humble. And that he learned not to turn aside from the commandment to the right or to the left, to the end that he may prolong his days in his kingdom, he and his children in the midst of Israel. And so important, isn't it, that we take time to study the Word of God. When kings fail to read and abide by the safety of Scriptures, they fail. When heads of family fail to imbibe the teaching of God's word, you find that, you know, inadvertently our love grows cold. And it is sad, right? But God did not leave us without help. And God gives to us his word. So let every sincere Christian resolve in his heart that if God's word is to be of the highest authority, then I must give it the highest place in my life, in my heart. Right? So important. This is the only lifeline that we have. Right? And, you know, when we have our meal, we like to choose the most nutritious food, right? In order that it may build us up. Every part of our body we choose, right? Enough vegetables, make sure that it's this color, that, and that. The meat, enough of this and that, you know, fluid and this and that. So we take time, you know, and it is a PhD course, as it were, you know, to learn how to take care of our physical body by the physical food that we partake. But what about the spiritual food? So here the Lord tells us that we need him and his word. Right? And how can we be perfect and upright in the sight of God, one who fear God and hate evil? Well, is someone who would take time to be with the Lord. Right? So the man Job was someone who, you know, woke up very early every day to pray for his children. And he does this consistently. God was with him. Right? So the first thought, we said, the cleansing power of God's word. Then secondly, the counseling power of God's word, right? From verse 17 to 24. Deal bountifully with thy servant, that I may live and keep thy word. Open thou my eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. The counseling power of God's word in the believer's life comes when God opens our spiritual eyes to behold the wonders of his truth. It comes from the illumination of the Holy Spirit, supernaturally given through prayer as he ponders and prays over God's counsel. Do you see that? Do you realize that? Sometimes, you know, you may think, hey, it's so simple. You mean just pray? Yeah, call out to God, cry out to God with your heart. Do you realize that you know, he never fails you. Every time you call upon him, he never fails. Every time he equips you. And that is the efficacy of prayer. If you call out to God, God will help you. He will send his Spirit to show you. Verse 19 says, I'm a stranger in the earth. Hide not thy commandments from me. He says, I'm a child of God. I live in the world, but I'm not of the world. I'm a pilgrim. I'm a stranger. I know this world is not my home. And his affections are set on heavenly things and not on temporal, earthly things that ultimately disappoints. And sometimes it's subtle, you know. You look at the man who walks there and, oh, wow, he changes his car again. Or, you know, he's moving. Wow. And, you know, recently we were giving out tracks in some of estates. We happened to be there. And, wow, every house is different. You know, as you drive through the estates, wow, every house is special, you know, each one different. And then you said, wow, never know that, you know, there are such houses here in this land, and people stay in such places. Our work was to slot a tract into the letterbox to give it to them. And we said to ourselves, wow, I think, you know, hardly anyone would travel to these places, you know, so obscure, so far out. And yet you see, wow, you know, and you ask yourself, what is it, what is it that attracts us? It's so easy, right, for us to not realize what are the important things. What are things that truly last, right? If you be caught, right, by the things that attracts your naked eyes. The judgments of God, verse 20 says, my soul breaketh for the longing that it hath unto thy judgments all the time. The judgments of God makes clear right from wrong, truth from error. And the judgments of God also refers to what he does, right? The plagues that are executed upon those who sin against God, right? God is long suffering, but a time will come, right, when, you know, the Lord says enough is enough, right? When the world was ripe for judgment, God sent the global flood. And it's so sad. You know, it's so sad, right, to see these things. But here, the psalmist is telling us, right, that, hey, let us be careful. Be careful that we be on the Lord's side and where we have erred. Right? The Lord says, please make right quickly with the Lord. And verse 21, right, verse 21. Thou hast rebuked the proud that are cursed, which do err from thy commandments. He has seen the judgment of God upon the disobedient, and it struck fear in his heart. He dared not to be proud. He sought to keep his heart tender and lowly before God. You know, if you take time to study God's word, you will see so many examples of those who deviate from God, and you see how God's judgment comes so swiftly. You know? And if we are we don't have that heightened sensitivity, you know, we live as if, you know, everything is well. Then we never know when, you know, we're going to trip and fall flat. So the Lord says, you know, help us the Lord tells us that, you know, the psalmist seeks God, right, to show him the way ahead. He needs God's counsel. And God's word provides the greatest counsel. Oftentimes, you know, we think that we have to run here, run there, go here, go there, talk to this and that and that and that to find wisdom. But you realize that as you pray, you seek the Lord, you know, you may realize that, you may find that, you know, in the beginning, as you begin your Christian life, it may be tough. You struggle in your Bible study, right? Because there are many things that you don't know, that you have to learn, right? The names, the, you know, even the phrases you cannot understand. But here the Lord is saying to us, right, be willing to persevere. Be willing to, you know, invest your life, your heart, for your soul's sake. Okay. Verse 22. Removed from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept thy statutes. He says he sought the Lord to clear his name from a myriad of accusations so that he can continue steadfast in his duties before God. And Revelation 12, verse 10 to 12, tells us how the the people of God sing praises to God, right, for their deliverance. And I heard a loud voice from heaven, and now is come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. There was a black spot on one of the walls of the room Martin Luther, the 16th century reformer, occupied during his imprisonment, when he was suffering from great depression. He was imprisoned in the dungeon. He declared on the 14th of May, 1521, he says, I do see myself insensible and hardened, a slave to sloth, rarely, alas, praying, unable to utter a groan for the church, while my untamed flesh burns with devouring flame. And he says, one night, during his mournful solitude, the great reformer dreamed that Satan appeared to him with a long scroll in which were carefully written the many sins and transgressions of which he was guilty from his birth, and which the evil one proceeded to read out, mocking that such a sinner as he should ever think of being called to do service for God, or even of escaping himself from hell. As the long list was being read out, Luther's terrors grew, and his agonies of the soul increased. At last, however, rousing himself, he testified, he jumped up and exclaimed, it is all true, Satan, and many more sins which I have committed in my life which are known to God only. But right at the bottom of your list, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. And grasping the inkstand on his table, he threw it at the devil, who soon fled, the memorial of it being left in the ink splash on the wall. God's word help us to distinguish good from evil, and inclines his heart to depart from those who despise God's ways, and it gives him strength to stand firm against persecution. He sought the Lord to make a way for him, to protect him from evil. He says that he is a servant of his master, and he sought the Lord to deal with him with grace and mercy. Do you seek the Lord to help you. Right? He says, verse 23, princes also did sit and speak against me, but thy servant did meditate in thy statutes. What are the statutes of God? Well, the statutes refer to the sacrifice for sin, the cleansings for purifications that are described by the law. There is a way that God would help us to make right with Him. For us, every month we come before the Lord for our Holy Communion. We examine ourselves. We seek God as we examine our lives. Ask God to help us, cleanse us as we confess our sins before God. And we are reminded that Jesus Christ has cleansed us of all our sins. And it gives to us that renewed strength, that boldness before God to live for Him. And we all need that check, that milestone, that point whereby we would take time to examine ourselves, we'll take time to renew our strength before God, we'll take time to find grace to help in times of need. And you'll find that, you know, God's word is the key. And when the people of God would be willing to take time to meditate, to rejoice, to study, to be strengthened in the Word of God, there is inner working in your soul, that you find guidance, you find cleansing. And that's the definition for joy, you know. When your sins are cleansed, you know, no more rebuke, that's where, you know, joy would come into your heart. And so you see how wonderful is this psalm that the psalmist took the pains to write. How to write an acrostic psalm like that? Every 8 verses, you begin with a different alphabet. Right? And to have such a wonderful flow of thought from beginning to end, wow. It must be inspired by the Spirit of God, right, to give us this gem. So the Lord wants us to take time to study, take time to meditate, take time to grow in grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, the blessedness of embracing God's Word, the cleansing power of God's Word, the counseling power of God's Word. We shall endeavor to study more of this psalm, and I would urge you to take time to read through 176 verses, not short, but not too long either. Right? Take time. May the Lord bless us as we seek to find grace from His Word to guide us in our life. Let us pray. Father, we want to thank Thee for Thy Word. Thank Thee for Thy mercy in which we can find help out of Thy Word. O Lord, may Thou help Thy people to be diligent students of Thy Word, to help us to take time. Indeed, Thy Word is the effectual balm for the weary. The promises, the guidance of God's of Thy Word. Lord, let it be real in our hearts. No wonder many are not well spiritually. Lord, I pray for Thy mercy. I pray that Thou would be merciful to help Thy people to take time to find strength again. Renew our strength. Lord, we are needy people, and we ask that Thy Spirit may fill us with Thy guidance out of Thy Word. This I pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.